I think Tubby fell down on the way back to the mic. Hey, can you hear the music?
Yep.
Good, good. Making sure, because with the technical difficulties that I've been having, who knows what's going on out there. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. I'm remote. I'm home for the holidays, so I'm having a good time with family down in Oklahoma City. So I'm broadcasting from another location, and whenever time you move around like that, it kind of creates technical difficulties. So I've been working on my mixer all day, trying to get everything. So if anything sounds off, or you just have to deal with it, so can't do anything about it. But we're in a good mood. I mean, we're coming back, after a Sunday that started off really, really poorly, but ended up with an Eagles victory. So before we go any further, let's let the music play. This year we've been able to play that song, very happy to do so. I mean, hey, at the start of the season we didn't know how many times we're gonna be able to celebrate victories for the Eagles, and the schedule, we knew coming into the schedule, we talked about it long before the schedule, when things were rough and they were sitting at 2-5, we were like, look, we know what we've got coming up, we know the teams that we got coming up, this is an opportunity for us to get it back together. If the team is truly worthy of making the playoffs, they're going to beat these you know, these weak teams like Detroit. Mm-hmm. The team that I'm really surprised that they beat in that run and beat as badly as they did is New Orleans right now. Looking back at where they are right now, the team that beats Tampa Bay 9-0, granted we struggled against Tampa Bay, but they have a really good defense. And I don't know if that's just all of a sudden happened or when we played them, maybe they were having an off day. But then I watched the game mm-hmm. against Miami, and they were down to their third string quarterback in Ian Book. And the Miami was, you know, having a tough time with them. Now, granted, if it had been Simeon or Taysom Hill, maybe the Saints could have pulled that out, but they didn't have any offensive firepower. But that defense is no joke. So looking back at this Eagle team and that run, you know, we knew they had the Jets. They knew they had the Giants twice and the Washington football team twice, that they could do it. And here we are right now at 8-7. So how are you feeling after this crazy victory against the Giants on Sunday?
Birds flying high. You know how I feel. And I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good. For a team that was, you know, sitting here above 500, you know, most had them, what, about 4-6 games to win this year. You know, prediction-wise, Eagles will win four games. Yeah. To sit here, you know, at 8 wins, playing the best ball we've played all year, I believe. I think, now, granted, we've played some bad teams with COVID and things like that, but overall, man, I think right now in our conference or our division, rather, I feel like we can only beat ourselves with careless mistakes and almost those mental mistakes, like that kind of plagued us in the beginning of the season with a lot of penalties and stuff like that. Then we cleaned it up for a stretch. And last game, we kind of got back to it against the Giants with a lot of penalties. So yeah. I think we're doing well, man. And to see us sitting there in that spot, man, in control, basically, we went out, you know, we control our own destiny now.
That's true.
And that's pretty good. That's a pretty good place to be in.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing to look at the standings and see them in that seventh slot, which is newly put in there by the NFL as a new wild card spot. So thank you, NFL, because without it, who knows, we'd be just on the outside because we'd be just behind the Rams and the 49ers. So, yeah, it's great to look and see that. But that, like you said, they played rough in that first 7 games of the season. They had a couple of good games against they did have a good game against the 49ers, even though they lost. But against the Falcons, had a good game. Against the Panthers, had a pretty good game. Even against the Chiefs, they had a good game. But they struggled, like you said, with bonehead penalties. And this game against the Giants, it was almost starting out like the first game with the Giants that they lost a few weeks ago and looked really, really bad. I mean, Hurts almost throws an interception like right on the first possession. And don't ask me why they were passing on every down on the first possession. I'm like, what? We've talked about this, Nick Sirianni. Did going to the hotel for a week with COVID make you kind of temporarily lose your mind or get some amnesia? Because what are you doing throwing on the first three? And then they threw, I think it was seven out of the first eight offensive plays.
Seven out of eight, and I think it became 10 out of 15. So just uncharacteristic of us, of what of what's been winning for us.
We have a formula, and we've known this, and everybody in the media says it. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. And then they run one time with Miles Sanders in the second possession, and he peels off 12 yards, and then they go right back to the passing game, and Hurts nearly fumble. He fumbles, and it was recovered. Mm-hmm. So he's going back to this regression in this first half, and I was trying my hardest because here was the difficulty I had. I was on the road coming here for the holidays, so I'm watching it on my phone, and then I've got you on the text, and after the previous Washington game where I was kind of losing my mind and being negative, I was like, I'm not going to do that this time. I'm just going to calm down. I'm going to zen. I'm going to find my zen place.
Four quarters in the game. Four quarters.
It's four quarters, yeah. But when it was, I tell you what, when it got to be the near the end of the second half, this is how I felt, was just this, I'm going to blend with the lamp. That's how I felt. I was like, I can't take it, man. This is, I was losing it because they're sitting there late in the second quarter and they're still, I mean, we had a missed field goal. And he's like, this, and Jake Elliott has been great all year, and then he's missing field goal. How many drops did they have in the first half? I mean, Goddard dropped a wide open. Sanders dropped a wide open. Gainwell, everybody was dropping him. Rager, well, it was great when Rager dropped his, man. Oh, the fans gave him, they ripped him a new one off of that.
It was when he dropped it. Yeah, it was a start. It was a crazy start. And, you know, the start made me feel like, what's his name? Remember, I text you like, man, I feel like deja vu. Because, you know, come out. It almost felt like the same play where Hurts fumbled against the against Washington. And you're just like, man, same thing, same kind of scramble play. And I think, you know, Nick and Jalen, it's like they both come out and it's like they go through this little, I don't know what it is, this little fumbling, you know, where they can't get it right. And then once it goes right, it's right. You know, it starts to look really good. And I think, you know, Jalen needs to understand, look, man, you don't have to make every single play. You know, the same thing, you roll out to the right and, you know, the interception, you almost throw that. It's because you're trying to make every play. When Jalen is playing at his best, it's when he's not, he's just trying to make the play, not every play.
Right.
Not, you know, I'm sure when you're as great of an athlete as Jalen Hurts is, I'm sure that you go back to the times, you know, your whole life, you've probably been the best player on your team where you had to make those plays. You've had to make those hero plays. But in the NFL, man, you just got to make the right play and just live with the right play. It doesn't, you know, that's where, you know, he's tipping, you know, going out of bounds where you're just like, come on, man, just throw it away. And he wants to make that last play. It's like, it's not even needed. Yep. You know, it's not even needed. So those things, man. And when he gets out of that hero mode and he's just running the offense, it looks good. It looks good. So I think, man, those two starts from Washington and then the Giants game, they look so similar. I was like, oh, man, come on, we got to step it up. And then I was, why are we throwing the ball so much? So, yeah, definitely that first half was forgettable for sure, 3-3, especially with a terrible quarterback. Fromm looked really bad.
Oh, I know, yeah. He looked like he was still at Georgia. He definitely looked like a rookie and not have any experience, especially not even with the first team offense. I think that saved us. I think against a really great team, it could have been a problem or a good passer. That first half we'd have gone into halftime down 14-3 or worse. And it's kind of what we talked about early in the season when we played a Tampa Bay or a Raiders team or even the Chargers, where those slow starts really killed them because they seem to be this second half team. Because once Jalen snaps out of it, like you said, and once he snaps out of it, and he started to snap out of it toward the end of the second half, that beautiful pass to Devontae for 46 yards down the sideline that led to the field goal. But then they had a first and goal inside the 10 and couldn't get it in. They had They did try to run two straight plays to Sanders, but then the third play, they for some weird reason, he threw underneath to Quez, who was way away from the goal line, and he was in double coverage.
Did you hear Did you hear Nick Sirianni's on that? So Nick says so at the post at the press conference, because I mean, you have a guy wide open, everybody's going to question what happened on the play.
Right.
Nick kind of, he leans over, he goes, I was prepped for a question. I don't know if you guys are asking about when Jalen threw the ball to Quez. So he goes, well, you know, it was a blown coverage by the Giants. He was never supposed to go to Goddard on that play. He was like, you know, he was just saying Jalen Ives isn't there. He's not there yet, you know, as far as, and then he was like, and also you can't predict a busted coverage. It always looked bad. He was like, the route was for Quez to go shallow. Can everybody even ask you, why is Quez so shallow?
Right.
But he says, so his read was the Quez. It was the right read. It wasn't the one you want in the end when you have a guy in the end zone. But he was just, he got ahead of the media on the question about it because, like I said, the guy's wide open. You're going to question it. So he gave the explanation as far as, like, you know, his first option is Quez there. But, you know, I'm talking to you. I'm like, man, your first option should be Goddard. But, you know, it is what it is. If your first option is Quez, you think he's open, you throw it. I guess that's where I'm talking about. If that's the play, take it. You live with it. It sucks. We wish you could have threw it to Goddard, but at least we didn't turn the ball over there, you know, trying to force those back end throws like the last game. So I didn't know, but it sucks when you missed it. But it was a busted coverage. That's what Sirianni was explaining. Like, his eyes wasn't even there yet, like, as far as to even see Goddard. His first check was Quez.
Never heard Sirianni's. I did hear Jalen talk about it, and that's why I wasn't even going to mention that Goddard was wide open, because we've seen it before. This happens. It's not like that Jalen's missing wide open receivers all over the field all the time. And Jalen really gave the best answer, and I was even going to include it in the show, but I'm like, you know what? It's not even worth bringing up right now because he's getting too much heat, and I didn't want our show to do that as well. The truth is, Jalen gave a great answer, said he went through his progressions, and when he even looked over at Goddard, there was a potential for somebody to make the play, and then he'd moved on. So his progressions had already shifted away from that area of the field. And if you watch the play, it's a bang-bang play. It's real quick. Mm-hmm. So anything can look worse than it is when you're watching it in slow motion and you're breaking it down. Mm-hmm. It's not great. Yeah, if he throws it on time. But again, we're dealing with a quarterback that is technically in his first year. Mm-hmm. And once he did get out of that and he started to snap out of it, second half was a thing of beauty. Started with the brilliant forced interception by Fromm. I think that kind of it lifted the Eagle spirits up going into halftime 3-3. We get the interception. Was it McLeod that made that first interception?
Wow.
Yeah. He was all over the place. In fact, I'm going to jump ahead. The interception at the end of the game by Singleton was McLeod tipping it into his hands. Yeah. So McLeod was all over the place. Got a quick text message here from Cash Circa 83. He says, my guys are back in the chat. Or he says, I'm back in the chat. I'll go ahead and give that accent. I've been busy loving the consistency. Now let's not F up these next 2 weeks. Yeah, and that's true. We got 2 weeks to go, and there's some, I mean, it's an interesting type of scenario that can happen for the Eagles if you look at it right now after that game. Let's bring this up real quick. So we're looking right now real pretty in that playoff spot right now at 8-7. We're actually tied with the 49ers, but they beat us, so they got the head-to-head on that. But there's a lot that could happen, and it basically comes down to this. They can clinch a playoff spot this Sunday if these three things have to happen, or four technically. Eagles win in Washington, Vikings lose to the Packers, and the Saints lose to the Panthers or the 49ers beat the Texans. I don't know how that 49ers beat the Texans thing since the Texans are AFC. I don't know how that works into it. It's got to be this conference or this not. I don't know. I really don't know why that has anything to do with it. That one kind of confuses me. But if you look at the other two, okay, so Eagles win in Washington. After the way that Dallas treated Washington this past week, and after the way the Eagles treated a COVID, you know, demolished Washington, definitely a possibility. Vikings lose to Packers in Green Bay, definitely a possibility. And then the Saints lose to the Panthers. Right now, we don't know who's quarterback for the Saints right now. That's a little bit harder. That's a little bit harder because the Saints got a good defense. Panthers are going back to Sam Darnold. They're kind of in disarray. We don't know how Darnold's going to play.
Right.
They should say, if the Saints have Taysom Hill or Trevor Siemian playing, they should win that game. But 49ers beating the Texans, here's the problem with that. is Garoppolo is out with what he fractured the or broke a bone in his thumb and his throwing
ACL
hand.
Joint or something,
Joint, yeah, it's just it's ouch. When I heard it, I was like, yeah, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. So he's definitely on the shelf. So they're looking like Trey Lance is going to be in there. So that's not a given. You beat the Texans, especially with Davis Mills playing the way he has, beating the Chargers. The Texans throw me for a loop where they come out. They're like the Lions beating Arizona. It's like, what? How did the Texans beat the Chargers? But they did it. So there's nothing guaranteed for sure. Mm-hmm. But these are definitely plausible. For me, I think I've talked about it. I don't want the playoff hopes coming down to having to beat Dallas in the final game. I really don't. I know we've got them at home. But that's just too much of a unknown. It's too intense for me. I don't think my heart could take it. Now, granted, if it comes down to that, I'll be ready for it. But I like the fact that it could wrap it up this Sunday. That would be really nice going into that final home game. So we'll see what happens with that. But, yeah, the second half of that game had so many great moments considering the first half. Mm-hmm. Talked about the penalties in the first half was really horrible. I thought the offensive pass interference on Devontae Smith was ridiculous. He's a mosquito. He can barely touch anybody. He comes across, barely makes contact with the defender, barely, and he gets thrown for it. Then we get a defensive line holding call. Who gets a defensive line holding call? Give me a break.
I lost it. On the 3rd and 12, 3rd and 14 or something like that, you get that call. That's there when was I was just like, man, it can anything go right for us? And then things started too, man. We had four straight drives where we scored, and that's all you can ask for. And you know, the Eagles are up there, I want to say, in the top five as far as scoring drives. And I looked at some last week as far as coming away with points. You know, it's just we're sporadic when we do it. And then when we do it well, we do it really well because we'll run off points just like we did against Washington the week before. When we get going, we'll just start running them off and just like touchdown. And the same thing here with the Giants. Imagine we dropped the pick. Well, was it Slay dropped that?
In the first half. Their field goal. Their field goal came out of that. If he doesn't drop that, they don't get any points in the first half.
I'm just thinking about the game earlier. Kelsey. Think about Chelsea in that Brighton game, man. Chelsea was dribbling. Kelsey dribbled a few balls backwards. I thought it was wild too. Like, man, Kelsey's dribbling a few passes. Few snaps, I was like, man, everybody just seemed out of sorts. But I want to give a shout out, man, to Herbert and Dickerson, man. I think they've played well. Yes. I think they've played well. I need to give Herbert, you know, he was at center. He's definitely a better guard than he is a center.
Yeah.
I'll give him that, man. But he's played well next to Lane. I gotta give him props for that. He's been playing well on that.
I think with Brooks being out and never to return, we were told he was going to play weeks ago, and we haven't seen Brandon Brooks, and I think it might be the end of his time in Philly. I don't know, because we just can't count on him. It's too many times we've not had him there. And I think Herbert, at least from the running perspective, this offensive line, what we have right now with Dickerson, Kelsey, Mailata, and Lane, and Herbert, they are probably our best run offensive line that we've got. They just knock people off the ball because it didn't matter who the Eagles had in there. And it sucks. We got to bring up the Miles Sanders injury, fractured his hand just after, I think it was right after I said to you on the text, man, isn't it nice to have Howard and Sanders both in there at the same time? Look at this crack, broken hand. So that sucks, but you have Howard in there and you have Boston Scott in there and you're not missing a beat. Because this offensive line, I think we could get AP in there. We could get Todd Gurley in there off the waiver wire, you know, and just we could put just about anybody in there right now that's halfway in shape. And this offensive line is going to open up holes. You're right. They deserve a lot of credit.
Yeah, man. Cash said Slay had the sun in his eyes. I guess Slay was complaining. He had that ball on three different occasions. Like, bro, just catch the ball. I think he's trying to pull a Goddard where he's trying to run before he actually catches the ball because he has two, three touchdowns this year. Slay, no, he has at least two. So
he has two that I'm definitely.
So he's hungry. He has two. So he gets that ball. He wants to score, man. He wants to score with it. But overall, man, moving into that second half, the flow, the rhythm, everything got going. You know, Goddard caught a couple passes. Everything just started clicking. What was the old when you mentioned that Howard and Sanders, who was the lightning and thunder that we had?
Oh, gosh. For the Eagles?
You know what I'm talking about, right? Eagles had, it was like thunder. They call one thunder and one lightning.
Well, there's been several thunders and lightnings in the history of the NFL. They've had a couple that have come
just for tandem. The Eagles, though.
If anybody out there remembers that, remember throw that in the
who
chat.
Was the thunder and lightning for the Eagles, man. I don't remember who that was. I don't know. It was like Charlie Garner and Ricky Ward. I don't know.
That would, hey, that's pretty good pull. That's a pretty good pull, I would say. But I remember being a thunder and lightning for like the Chargers, I think, when LT was there.
Yeah, they had one too.
Sproles and LT were really big at that time. So
yeah.
They were like a thunder and lightning. But yeah, so it was. Speaking of lightning, Boston Scott gets the first touchdown on the board coming in off the bench. Again, this guy, he's maximizing his playing time, which was just really huge. And that was a huge. I mean, like you said, it was a big role. Just rolling through the scores in the second half, it was just like every possession, again, the Eagles were making it count. They get a field goal after that, and then the Devontae Smith, this is the one that killed me, was the Devontae Smith toe tapper in the end zone that was ruled a touchdown, then it was ruled not a touchdown, and then it was ruled a touchdown again. I mean, this is how bad those refs were, though.
I've never seen anything like it.
No. No, I've never seen a replay be reviewed twice once it's gone through. And it was funny because, okay, going back to my situation, I was in the car watching it on my phone because that's all I had, watching Sunday Ticket on my phone. Then I got into the state line of Oklahoma. Well, that was the state of Oklahoma was showing the Eagles game. So immediately, as soon as I crossed the state line, I kid you not, my Sunday Ticket went blacked out.
Man.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? I can't watch the game even on my phone. So I'm losing it. But I had XM, so I put it on the XM radio. So it was actually kind of good because I had Mike Quick and Merrill Reese doing the play-by-play. Yeah. And they actually...
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to talk about that challenge. So I didn't get to see Devontae Smith toe tap, but I heard that they called it a touchdown on the field. And then they said to review that it wasn't. And then Merrill Reese starts talking about Nick Sirianni was losing his mind. They could see him screaming at the officials, pointing at the Jumbotron, yelling, take it to New York, take it to New York.
Really?
And he's screaming it. They say you could hear him. And they went to New York. And I think New York probably called in. Because these refs, man, they were a little dubious. I think New York called them. And said, no, that's a touchdown. Because that would have been so controversial to overturn that on a replay when it's clearly a touchdown.
And we needed that touchdown because it puts us at 20-3 now.
Yeah.
Now it's 20-3, and you go, okay. Whew. You know, yeah, I'm not necessarily exhaling, but you like, we have some room now. We have some room. Let's see what we do. And the defense, like they did all game, stepped right up, got us the ball right back, and then which leads us to the most beautiful touchdown of the day.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean,
oh, look at that, right on time. Look at that.
I had it queued up ready to go.
The most beautiful touchdown of the day. He threw it was a zip great. I mean,
Lane Johnson, what was so great about that is he reported ineligible. And again, I'm listening to it on WIP. And Merrill Reese goes, man, wouldn't it be great? He just said it. Wouldn't it be great if Lane Johnson caught this for a touchdown? And then sure enough, he sold it with a massive block. I watched it again today. He had a massive block on the line, and then he just leaked out. He just leaked out, and no one went with him.
It was beautiful.
And I think the best part was him trying to do a Lambo leap into the stands. And he got his elbows. He got his elbows.
Help! He's like, come on, y'all. Y'all can help me out a little bit. Man, he didn't sit down. I don't think he sat down. No. He sat down, got back up, sat down, got back up.
Yeah.
He was juiced, man. You could tell. And it brought so much life to the stadium back. Even though we were winning 20-3, going up 27-3.
Whoo, yeah, it was huge.
It was a lot better. And then we get them right back, man. Yeah. Right back.
The Singleton.
Singleton had a hell of a game overall. Yeah. He had about 10 tackles. He was there on a few plays, made a couple solid hits, man, on the outside, for such a small linebacker. So, yeah, man, McLeod, like you mentioned earlier, McLeod gets in there, makes another great play on the ball. Present. Early Christmas present, right? Well, after Christmas. After, little post-Christmas present. Yeah,
belated.
Yeah.
It is great.
Right to Singleton. He takes it right to the house. And you just like, okay.
Brilliant.
All right. We can do this now. I mean, two interceptions, one for a touchdown. The offense is rolling. Everybody's rolling. felt a little bit better at the end of that game. Like, okay. But then when you see Miles Sanders, but then in the back of your mind, then, you know, you start to think about the collateral damage of the game. Like, okay, we won this game, but dang, Howard leave with a stinger. Howard's leaving the game with a stinger. You can kind of tell his right shoulder. He didn't want to, he just let that arm dangle. You go, oh man.
Oh yeah.
Dislocated. And then you also, Miles Sanders with the broken hand. So I think because of that, we signed Kerryon Johnson back to the active roster. Even though we still have Gainwell, we still have Howard should be able to play this week.
And they're saying he's questionable, but there's a good chance. I think Kerryon's just an insurance policy because, let's be honest, a fractured hand, do we really expect Miles Sanders to come back this year? I don't know. I think it's a matter of they don't want to put him on IR.
Where it is probably because, you know, they can put those padding, those special gloves. And, you know, I hear you, though. That is something because ball security.
Yeah, exactly.
Ball security is a big issue. You know, wouldn't it be nice, though? Because Kerryon Johnson, remember a few years back.
Oh, definitely.
He was playing really good ball. He was a starting running back up there in Detroit.
For Detroit, yeah, definitely.
And then, you know, you got Swift comes in, you know, takes his spot. But that doesn't mean it's not there. You know, this is what, week 16?
Right.
Week 16.
It's going in.
Yeah, it's fresh leg. 17
now.
17.
Yeah,
sorry. 17.
Yeah, it's going in 17. Yeah.
Sure. So we're going into 17.
Where is it? I can't remember.
You got this guy. No. You're right. You're right. Because 2 weeks.
They got me confused. 17, 18.
No. 17, 18. You're absolutely right. We're coming in. Wouldn't it be nice, you know, just because with our line, you know, you mentioned you could put anybody back there. We got a fresh legs running back. This guy hasn't ran the ball all year for the most part.
Right.
What if he comes in and gives us that? The burst, he can have a Miles Sanders game. Kerryon Johnson can have a Miles Sanders game. He's proven it in the past. Now, I think there is a reason why he hasn't made an active roster this year with so many injuries to a lot of running backs. Well, you got Adrian Peterson getting a job before Kerryon Johnson. I don't know if he was a protected, because, you know, some of your practice players are protected. So I don't know if he was a protected practice player or whatever, but it's a little message from Cass. If I had to put percentage on the playoff chances, what would you give us? I think we have a 95% chance, man, of making the playoffs. I don't want to be 100, but and then, you know, I'm a use a bailout here. And then if we can't beat a team like Washington, we shouldn't be in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's bailing out. But it's true. I mean, it is true. I would go a little bit lower. I would go 75, a 3 out of 4 chance. I think that the key is beating Washington this Sunday again, like you said. But I do think if they beat Washington, those other things could easily fall in place. I do think 49ers should beat the Texans. Saints should beat the Panthers. I think all three of them should happen. And the Packers should beat the Vikings. Now, instinctively, when we get to our pick segment, I'm picking against all of those because I'm in this mindset where I'm like, I want the opposite to happen. So I'm going to pick against it and then cross my fingers and let's see what happens. But yeah, I think 75%, I think, what would be devastating, you know, the thing is what sucks is that this is what we deal with as Eagles fans, like on a regular basis. I'm sure Cash can relate to this. And he thought that was pretty funny, by the way. But he can relate to this as an Eagles fan. We get roped into this every year. They heighten our expectations. We get all excited by the season. Midway point, we're just like, well, whatever's going to happen. Then they get on this roll and they suck it in. I have actually a soundbite that perfectly illustrates what it's like being an Eagles fan because it's just a chain reaction.
Why did you even rope me into this?
Because he roped me into this.
Well, him over there, he roped me into this.
Well, he roped me into this.
What about me?
He roped me into this.
Well, that one over there roped me into this.
That's what it's like, man. I mean, tell me, ain't that what it's like? They just rope you right back into it, and now we've got this hope. So when you say 95% and I say 75%, that means right now you and I feel pretty confident that this is going to happen. And if it doesn't, it's rough. It's rough. It's going to be a rough couple of weeks. I mean, but if everything falls in place on Sunday, then we'll be flying high. And part of me, actually, like I said before, I don't want it to come down to Dallas, but part of me does too. I'd love to see us whip up on Dallas to get into the playoffs. But you know, that would be nice. We owe them a beating. They've shown that they're chinks in the armor. the last few weeks. Their defense is playing great, but there's chinks in the armor on that offensive side. Dak has been way loose with the ball. There are issues there. So, you know, it is what it is. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, I say 75-95 could be it. But going back to what you said about Kerryon Johnson in the running game, it would be great to see him come in and rip one off, because I do think behind offensive line, because I saw Todd Gurley was out there, and that's why I mentioned that, because yes, I thought that would be somebody who they'd go after. But Todd Gurley's more of that Jordan Howard type of runner, north-south, where I think that Kerryon gives him a little bit more mobility. And if Jordan comes back, then we still have that straight-ahead runner. And I think Jordan will be back. I think he was going to do everything he can to play on Sunday. And I do think Boston will play well. And that brings us to the segment that I love each and every week, that is...
Hell to the no, 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 no. Hell no, no, to the no, no. Hell to the no, no. To the no, 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 no.
Somebody did my boy Boston Scott really bad. Did him dirty with this meme.
So that meme is funny, man. That is pretty good. That is pretty good there.
Oh, for those who can't see it, it's a Boston Scott when Nick asked him to go on the field and save our season, especially after Sam's got hurt. I think he did Boston Scott up like Baby Yoda with the Eagles jersey.
That's hilarious,
on.
Hilarious, man.
His little headband.
You know,
and his
he is that small. When I seen him at the Denver game, you know, I was same way, bro. When I seen him at the Denver game, I was like, that's Boston Scott? Like,
I know, right?
Pee-wee. I mean, he's so
cute.
Oh,
he's
deserves
so
it, bro. That's pretty hilarious.
I want that. I want a Build-A-Bear like that. I want a Boston Scott Build-A-Bear.
Boston Scott Build-A-Bear.
That would be awesome.
Yoda, that is awesome.
It's adorable, just like Boston is. But yeah, he came in and got the touchdown. Really was a big spark, and I think it made me feel better when I watched it back again today. Watched the game back, I felt, you know, we're I hate missing Sanders. I do. I think that's a weapon that we'd love to have on the field. I'm not going to deny that, but I do think, like we talked about with the offensive line and Howard and Scott. Scott is a damn good back. And he's a damn good backup back to have in there. He's proven it time and time again. And we've talked about him all year long. He maximizes his snaps. So we've dealt with this. We had Miles in, and then he went out, and we had Jordan in. And then Jordan Howard goes out, and we get Miles back. And then we get both on the field. We knew one of them was going to go out.
Yeah, it's like, terrible,
we can't have nice things. We can't have both at the same time. It's just not going to happen. So
right.
It is what it is. So that brings us to Sunday and what we're going to have to deal with with the Washington football team in the rematch. This is not going to be easy because we're not dealing with a COVID-depleted team anymore. They're going to be back to full health for the most part. They do have a few injuries. And it's an important game for us that we have to have. And I'm sure that, you know, this goes back to last year where we kind of could have spoiled it for them. And we kind of, that whole game where they yanked Hurts out of the game. Who did we put in that game? Who was our quarterback? It wasn't anybody worth anything.
It was last year?
Yeah, last year.
You're saying last year when they...
Last year, the Giants would have won the NFC East had we beat Washington. And Doug Peterson, they sat Jalen Hurts.
Oh, yeah. When you say yank, I thought like took him from the game. I was thinking like, I don't remember him playing that game.
No,
right, but you got me. They sat him, right?
Yeah.
So it was him. I remember him and Carson on the sidelines. It was like Nate Sudfeld.
Sudfeld. Yeah, I think it was Sudfeld. That makes sense. That sounds right. So you know, if anything, they owe us. So they should just lay down because we gave them the NFC East last year. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to come out and try to play legit. And so it's going to take a total team effort on the road, but they've got the momentum right now. And you look at these stats where we're at right now going into this game, the Eagles only need 160 rushing yards to break their franchise record for the most rushing yards in a season with 1949. That'd be since 1949. That was when they set the record, 2,607 yards. That's crazy. And the Eagles have rushed for 130 plus yards in 9 straight games. That's the best streak for an Eagles team in 77 years. Those are crazy stats. It's hard to believe. And this is a team that should make the playoffs.
And the stat is good when you're winning. This caused them to win the game. You know, if you have that stat and you're, you know, have the Lions record or the Jets record or the Giants, you know, I mean, or the Jets record, then whatever. But that has gotten you into the playoffs, you know. So that was part of your winning formula. So it does feel that much better, man. And yeah, this Washington game is going to be an interesting one. We're going to get into that.
Well, speaking of running the ball, let's talk about Tubby's keys to victory, and that's the first lineup right there. Take you.
Like
drink
I said,
first.
Man,
I'll take me a drink.
This is never coming down. Run the ball. Why not? You know, if we're thinking anything else, then we're crazy, man. If anything, it gives us tempo. And that's how you control the game. And, you know, for the Eagles, they're still getting about 200 yards a game in the air, and you're still running the ball well. You know, when you get into the playoffs, man, running the ball is going to be a huge thing, especially if you have to go up in the Green Bay. It's cold. You don't want to hit that running that ball, those big uglies up front. It's no telling, man. So when you're able to run the ball, I truly believe you can beat any team. Don't want to go on a tangent, but you look at Peyton Manning over the years, you know, one of the best passers ever. But when that pass didn't work, they looked terrible. And that's how the Patriots took advantage of them every year. Like, you know, we're going to take Peyton away, and then what you guys are going to do? Start fast. You know, the last Washington game and the Giants game, you know, the fumbles in the first quarter, the drop passes. We can't have that, man. I think with Washington, I think they're going to come in and try to play spoilers for us. But I think if we start fast, they're going to be thinking about their vacation. They're going to be thinking about, you know, vacationing with their family in July and what beach they're going to be on this spring, because they're going to be like, look, I'm just trying not to get hurt. But I think if we keep them around, you know, Heineke's a gamer, man. If they keep him around, he's going to try to, you know, they want to see if they could do anything to accomplish anything this year, stop us from going to the playoffs. I think they wouldn't mind it. I think they wouldn't mind it at all. And Hurts, keep it simple. Like I talked about earlier, you don't have to make the hero plays. When Hurts went 20 for 26 against Washington last game is when he kept it simple. You take those three drops away, and, I mean, we're looking at, you know, his best game of his career, you know. So it's there. Keep it simple. You know, do what you did after that mistake or after the fumble, because right after the fumble, they played well. We had the Mailata holding penalty that stopped the drive. But really, after that fumble, he I don't have to make all these plays, and he played really well, man. So, you know, you went 20 for 26 against them last time. I don't see why he can't repeat that. You know, I mean, we know Washington has their guys back, but I think if we keep it simple, run the ball, make quick decisions with the ball, no hero plays. I don't think we struggle. It's always going to be a good game. It's a division game. It doesn't matter. It's a divisional game. It's going to be a tough game. But I think if we get them out of there early, I think we can have them fighting on the sidelines like the Cowboys did.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, they were getting frustrated at the end of that game. And that does worry me coming into this. I think any team that gets beat down like that, they can go one of two ways. They can either rally the troops and get everybody back on the same page and move forward to say, all right, that's over. Now let's kick the Eagles' ass. Or they just fall apart. Or they just continue to go downward slide. So let's hope it's the latter and not the former. We'll see, I mean, how it goes. It is, like you said, with Hurts, though, coming into this game, the two keys, the running the ball and Hurts keeping it simple, it's so key against a great defense like that, because in the last game, got off to a slow start against Washington. Mm-hmm. Second half again, started to, again, keep it simple. Wasn't afraid to run against guys like mm-hmm. Sweat, where we just kept pushing the ball. And I think that's what, I think Stetson and Sirianni have to continue to do is just keep pushing the ball and keep pushing the run. Yeah. Because my opinion was, even in that Giant game, when they had a holding call and it was first and 20, they should have still been running the ball. They should have been running first. They should have a run first mentality and then see where it goes from there. Because right now we're first in the league in rushing. I think they're 24th, 25th in passing. That's a big difference. So you've got to play to your strengths. And like I said, this simple stuff, I will give Hurts credit, man. The second half, throw the balls to Quez downfield, balls to Devontae Smith, he was airing it out. He was throwing a good deep ball. These guys are making catches. So we got to see more of that, like Goddard making a big catch downfield.
And we're showing a different way to win. If a lot of folks would have told you that Jalen Hurts only have 6 rushing yards and the Eagles won, people would be like, what? Because, you know, because of the run game, you know. So that's why when I talk about those hero plays, you know, Hurts had 6 yards that last game and still was super effective, man. So I'm good at that maturation with him, man. It's really, really, really good to see him grow. like that. Yeah. This is the sideline. Yeah,
this was the sideline fight. Jerron Payne and Jonathan Allen, who were supposed to be fairly good friends, but yeah, this is what the being getting beat down by Dallas does to you, especially when you bring your own benches in for the game, which is ridiculous. But, you know, because Dallas brought their benches because they didn't want to be cold, and they knew that Washington does a little gamesmanship. Why are you bringing your own benches to Texas Stadium in Dallas? There's no that's just silly. It was silly. And so, I think it was Allen trying not to react, and then Jerron Payne, like, poked him in the face. You don't poke a man in the face. And then he just came out swinging at him. And it was like, whoa. And so that's a team that's in a little bit of turmoil right there. So we got to hope we can catch them in that type of situation and take advantage of it. So let's take a quick look at the injury report. Now, the problem with it is there's too many injuries on both sides of the ball to actually put it on the slide. There's just too many. So looking at the Eagles first, just go over the important ones. We got Kenneth Gainwell was limited in practice, so he's questionable. We got Hurts is questionable with an ankle injury, but he's had that for a while now. He's not going to be in there. Of course, Brandon Brooks, now they're saying week 18, whatever. I'll believe it when I see it. Derek Barnett is on the COVID list right now, which hurts. Of course, Sanders out for this week. They're saying expected return, possibly week 18. I don't feel good about that, but we'll see. Stranger things. Howard, of course, we mentioned, has a stinger. He's questionable, but all signs point to him going to try to give it a go. Kevon Wallace is hurt again with a hip pointer. He's questionable. Herbig has got a knee injury. He's questionable. We need him in there. Davion Taylor, questionable. Oh, actually, he's on injured reserve, expected to maybe return this week. The thing I will say about the linebackers, because we mentioned Singleton, but Edwards had a pretty decent game, but Jannard Avery was all over the field too. Our linebacking core is really, after we ragged them for the whole first half of the season, they're playing some really good ball.
Well, we got rid of Wilson. Wilson was the number one guy, and he's in, like, he plays for, like, the Texans or something like that now. Yeah. So I think they even cut him. I think he's been cut again. But Eric Wilson, you know, it was a good point you made earlier in the season when you were highlighting that, like, man, what's up with Wilson?
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the Eagles have made a lot of changes throughout this season in general, man. They've grown. I think they were a lot of pressure, a lot of high expectations for such a young team in general. And they've made a lot of changes throughout the season, man. And it's just been all trending up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of the change, we just tried to you know, you got to think, man. The first, I think, five games or so of the season, we were the lowest rushing attempt team in the league.
Yep.
Now we're the highest in the team. Like, you know, that's a change. That's growth. You know, hey, we came in with a game plan this season for whatever reason, and it didn't work. But we talked about the play calling. We talked about the 40 to 50 passes. Like, what is going on? And most of them are RPOs. Mm-hmm. Just nothing really looked fluid on the offense. As you just keep going, then you start finally, hey, remember against that Tampa? It was that Tampa game when Miles Sanders rushed for a first down and the crowd so sarcastically cheered. I think that was a turning point in the run game for the Eagles. Just that heavy sarcasm. I'm not saying we got it right immediately, but if you were there, you had to feel it. You had to feel it. And I think when the Sanders injury went down, we were forced to do more designated runs versus the dynamic run plays, you know, the RPOs, the dump ball, because you have Howard. And I think that Sanders injury ended up being a gift for us, man, because it changed everything that we did offensively. Then going into that bye week, you know, we have the Jets game. Jets game looked smooth. You're running the ball. Minshew did a good job. Then you come back next week, play the Giants. You're running the ball well again. Then Washington, then you play. Yep. So it's all been just trending. Even when you have guys hurt, we haven't collapsed. Now, don't get me wrong. I will say this. We haven't played a team with a record above 500. It has to be said during this time. So that's going to be something different we're going to run into when we go into the playoffs, because more than likely we're going to be playing the number two seed. So I don't know, man. I like the way, you know, just a little season in review really quick, you know, just adding everything that's kind of, you know, how do we get here? How do we get to 8-7 on the cusp of the playoffs? And, you know, I think if Gannon gets on board with a consistent defense, man, I think three first round draft pick, I don't want to get ahead of the season. I'm just trying to, you know, You know, it's hard right. to not to predict, because you can have this level of success, man. I think the Cowboys should be a little worried, man. Should be a little worried.
If they use all three of those picks and they use two of them on defense, it's just going to make that defense better. If like against the Giants, Gannon did play a more press. He was playing a little bit a lot more blitzes, and that's what you got to do, especially against a guy like Fromm and Glennon when he came in. He backed off in the fourth quarter, but playing prevent. But you're up 34-3. Whatever. They gave up a garbage time touchdown. But what I don't want to see against Heinicke is, again, putting everybody back 10 yards off the line of scrimmage. He does that. It's going to make it harder for us to win that game because, again, we lose the time of possession battle. Believe it or not, the Giants won the time of possession in this game on Sunday, but that was a lot of it due to that first half just being nothing but punts. It was just unbelievable. But, yeah, it's – I had to mention seeing that, Kevon Wallace is out, Davion Taylor's out, but our linebackers have been playing really, really well. Ever since Wilson's been gone, Edwards and our Avery and Singleton, I'm really impressed with what they've been doing. The whole team is as a whole right now. But we'll see what happens against Washington. Looking at the Washington injury report, Antonio Gibson's got a hip issue. He's questionable. That's huge. Sweat is right now. He didn't practice on Wednesday. Questionable right now with personal reasons. Don't know what that means. We'll see what goes with that. If they don't have Sweat in there, that is huge. He is just the playmaker on defense. I don't like the guy, but he is, man, he's devastating out there. Then we've got Steinmetz, their offensive tackles, on the COVID list still. And then you've got a bunch of offensive linemen looking on the COVID list. You've got Charles, Cosme, Jonathan Smith-Williams, defensive end, is questionable. Roberts, another corner, is questionable. So they're still suffering the after effects of that. The list is very long. Samuel is questionable with a hamstring injury. So that's huge for them from the wide receiver standpoint. But McLaurin will play. Heinicke will play. So it's still not, it's not going to be easy. We'll see how it goes. We just have to play it out and go in there with the intensity that they need. And I think that was what was missing in the Giant game. And one thing we didn't bring up was, they had to play on Tuesday because of the COVID and then turn right around and do a quick. Granted, teams do that. They play on Thursday and then turn right around and play like on a Monday night or whatever on a Sunday. It happens. So sometimes you have to do that Sunday and then play on Thursday. It sucks. There's nothing you can do. And so the Eagles could have been a little bit rusty from that or flat, but they got over it. They can't do that against Washington. Come out and push it, win the game, and then if things fall right, we're in the playoffs. If not, we still got one more game, and that's against the Cowboys in Week 18 on January 9th in Lincoln Financial Field. And I love this meme here that somebody sent me. And it was NFL teams really out here losing by 42 points to two dudes who kiss each other. I love the Cowboys memes. Keep them coming. I appreciate that. But yeah, that's good stuff. That's it. Cowboys 11-4, they're no joke. They're as good as any team at the top of the league. I'm not gonna take anything away from them. They destroyed Washington. They've had their down games, and anything's going to be tough. But they do have them at home in the cold weather. Seems to always Eagles play really well in cold weather, late December, early January against the Cowboys. So weird to see a game on January 9th that's not a playoff game, though, isn't it? Isn't that strange?
100%, man. 100%.
Like, we're still playing the regular season?
Still in the regular season, January.
Crazy. January 9th. This should be playoff time. Speaking of playoffs, the fantasy playoffs for your league. You actually ended up losing in your fifth place game, so sorry about that.
I'm not.
You're not getting anything. I get you. You're not getting anything out of it. But yeah, your other two players, actually, the number one seed, your brother, Marine Raiders, mm-hmm. ended up losing to A. Will. So A. Will, the fourth seed, moves on to the championship, mm-hmm. and then White Rhinos ended up beating the second seed. So you got the third and the fourth seed in the finals. Don't you hate that? You play and you fight all season long. You get to the finals or the playoffs of your fantasy league, and then you end up losing in the semifinals, and you don't even make it to the finals.
If you look at that score, man.
Yeah.
Look close. How close that score is. What is that? 122? It's a little crazy.
Yeah. 122. 122-28 to 123.
Yeesh. Come on, man. That's Tyreek Hill, and he got him 3.9 points out, Cavs. Man, can you imagine? Can you imagine coming off the bye week, losing by one, man? That's terrible. Mm-mm. That's terrible. the crazy thing is the people who had the best weeks weren't even in the playoffs.
Nah. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I had a pretty good week. I had the Cowboys defense, and they scored like 30 points against Washington. So it was crazy.
That's wild.
I know. It's just fantasy is one of those things. Once you get into the playoffs, you just got to have some luck because you can win all season long. And then you get in there, number one seed, like say your brother, and then he's out. Mm-hmm. So that's moving us into the pick segment of the game where we do our picks against the spread. I run a picks game. Right now, it's up in the air. I went 9-7 in NFL picks and got my lock of the week. And I still lost because Tim Case had 70 plus 70 points. I had plus 30. So he took back over the first spot. I dropped back down to number two. But if you look at these standings overall, I'm at 150 points and Tim is at 170. So he pulled away from the rest of the field a little bit and making it into a two-man race with 2 weeks left to go, plus the bowl games, which we pick. So we got others at third place at Darren Muir with 30 points. We got a tie there. And then another one, Zach Adamson at 30. And then Dustin Schmidt at 30, and then the rest are all below. So the way that works is you get 10 points for a correct pick, minus 10 for a loss, and you get one lock of the week, which is a double that's worth 20 points either way. So that all being said, I'm going to get into my picks real quick for week number 17. I'm going to start with the Philadelphia-Washington pick, and this is purely me just being a negative freaking Nancy, I guess. I'm going to take Washington getting the 4 points. Philly on the road. Starting off slow. I don't want this to be reality. Again, I'm picking what I don't want to be reality, and I'm going with my head and not my heart. I think Washington, it's so hard to beat a division opponent twice in a row. I'm setting myself up for disappointment and then hoping I'll be pleasantly surprised when they win. I do, in my heart, I believe the Eagles will win, but I think it's going to be really close. It could be seven in that 3 to 7 point range. I do think that because I think that Washington's going to try to come out and they're going to play us hard. Moving on from that, I mean, before I move on from that, what is your pick for the game as far as score-wise? What do you think the Eagles are going
to
do?
And I think 30 to 10, man. I think we can get to Heinicke. I think if we get to Heinicke, they have nothing on offense. If we can just – he looked really bad against the against the Cowboys. And then he was coming off of a three-interception game streak. So he's at four. You know, he was out with COVID, but he's on like a four-game interception. I mean, it's just – you know, four straight games he's throwing a pick.
Right.
So he, you know, I mean, we just don't want him to do stuff like get out there and run. I know we're not, you know, or discuss the game, but 30 to 10, Eagles. Now, just 30 to 10, because I'm just thinking about it like, ugh, you know, he's one of those tricky players. He could just have a great day or, but I think 30 to 10, I think we'll get to him. I think our offense will play well. I mean, our defense will play well. I am a little surprised at the, at that line. I didn't, I'm a little surprised. I thought it was more of a 6.5 Eagles. I thought, you know, just me personally. We'll see what happens, man. But I think it's a pissed off Washington team.
Right.
After last week, because you lose to the Cowboys. It's not like you lost to the Saints or you lost to Green. Losing to the Cowboys, everybody in your family is going to text you and clown you. You know what I'm saying? It's the Cowboys.
Yep.
So that's where you get those trolls you didn't even know you knew trolling you. Like, what? Man, that really sucked against the Cowboys. Man, I haven't talked to you in 3 weeks, man. Now you want to talk to me about losing to the Cowboys. So they're pissed, man. And you know how guys are on teams, man. Payne and I don't remember who the other guy was. They may ball out for each other. You know, guys can be different like that. They go back to that next game. They play that much harder, overcompensate. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. You know, we're beefing. I'm gonna show you that it wasn't my problem last game. These guys, man, some big dudes, man. These guys may come out balls to the wall, man. So 30 to 10, though, go Birds.
And I can see that. I perfectly think that's I say it's a high probability that's what could happen in that game. I think that there are just some, the big mitigating factor for me is that they had so many of their offensive line on COVID list, and they still do. And if those guys play, it's going to make it harder for the Eagles to get to them. I think the Cowboys took advantage of that, and they just continually pressured them and forced them into those turnovers. I think that's where that's coming from. Their line has been really hurt badly over the last few weeks. So I think if the Eagles get the benefit of that and can get through that weakened offensive line, then you're right. It could be an easy blowout. I'm just going with I don't want – if I say that I'm picking against the Eagles – to jinx the Washington football team because I want the Eagles to win so badly, that might ruin me saying that. That's how superstitious I get. So I don't want to say that's the reason I'm doing it. So I'm not going to say that's the reason I'm doing it, because then that'll ward off the jinx. You get me? You feel me? How I'm saying? Okay, good. So you understand where I'm going at. All right. So I'm not going to say anything more of that, because that's not why I'm doing it.
Right. No, I'm tracking.
That's not why I'm doing it. I stress. That's not what I'm doing. All right. Moving on along with these picks. We got Buffalo. This is a high spread, but it's just hard to not give these 14.5 points. Buffalo at home in the cold against a weak Atlanta team right now near the end of their rope. 14.5 points, I'm going to take Buffalo. Chicago giving 6 to the Giants. I would normally probably even think about taking the Giants, but after seeing BDN play last Sunday against Seattle and just ball out, man, Nick Foles on the field. I was like, man, if I didn't know Nick Foles was playing, I would have picked Chicago. He played a really good game. It was nice to see him out there slinging. And with that defense on his side, Nick is one of those guys that, man, he's in a good seat. And I think they could win this game and go out on a high. Kansas City is given 5.5 to Cincinnati. This should be a really great game. But Kansas City is playing really good defense on top of that great offense. And I know that Cincinnati and Burrow threw for 500 yards, but it's like, man, it goes up and down. They'll do that 1 week and then lose to the Browns. So I got to go with Kansas City 5.5. Because Burrow, I can't trust this Bengals. They go up and down, up and down. Tennessee, Titans looking really good right now. 3.5, giving 3.5 to Miami. A good defensive team, not so much a great offensive team. I will give my son credit. I was down on them early in the season, but these guys ripped off 7 straight wins. You cannot knock that. They're sitting there in their 7th playoff spot. So this is an important game for the Dolphins to go further. So it's going to be a good game. That's one that I really would like to see. Indianapolis, another team that is in trending upward for the playoff hunt. They're given 7.5 without Carson Wentz. This is after Carson Wentz got put on the list. And I can't even remember who they've got coming in play for him. They tried to get Phillip Rivers to come back and play for him, believe it or not. He said no.
That's wild.
The Saints tried to get Drew Brees to come back and play for him, and he sent a picture of him golfing to the Saints manager and said, no, I'm done. I'm not playing for y'all. But so we've got Indianapolis 7.5 to Vegas. I'm going to go ahead and take Vegas in this situation because they've got a little bit more players than Indy does, even though it's in Indy. New England, another big spread, 14.5 to Jacksonville. But after Jacksonville burned me 3 times in a row, I'm never picking them again. So that's why I'm taking that. Tampa Bay, another one, given 13.5 at the New York Jets. Tampa Bay is out for blood after that 9-0 defeat to the Saints. Taking Tampa Bay. The Rams given 3.5 at Baltimore. I'm going to go with the Rams because even though Lamar Jackson may be back on the field, I can't trust the Ravens at this point. They have not really shown me anything the last few weeks. The Chargers are given 5.5 to Denver after losing to the Texans. I'm expecting them to bounce back at home. I'm going to give the 5.5 to Denver. San Francisco is given 12.5 to Houston at home with Trey Lance. I think the 49ers will win, but I'm going to take Houston getting the 12.5 points. New Orleans, talked about that earlier, could have Simeon and or Hill back. They're given 7 points to Carolina. Going back to Sam Darnold, the Cam Newton era is once again over in Carolina before it even got going again. And so I'm going to take New Orleans in that tough defense against Carolina. Seattle, who we talked about a little bit ago, is going to be at home. They're giving 7 to Detroit, and I got to go with the Lions just because they play everybody tough. They played Atlanta tough again last week. The only team they haven't played tough, Philadelphia Eagles, which is crazy because we blew them out, and they play people to the wire. Minnesota is getting 6.5 from Green Bay. They're actually at Green Bay, and I'm going to take Minnesota getting those points. I think Green Bay will win, but it's a division game. Minnesota knows they got to get in the playoffs with a win, so it's going to be a fun game. I'm hoping, though, that I'm wrong on that, and Green Bay just destroys them. And lastly, on Monday night, we've got Cleveland on the road at Pittsburgh, given 3.5. Pittsburgh is a home dog in this Pittsburgh-Cleveland rivalry. I'm going to take Pittsburgh in that because I don't trust Baker Mayfield. He throws too many picks. He went through 5 last week. That's insane.
He threw 5 last week?
I think it was 4. Maybe it was 4. Maybe it was 4. I know he threw a lot. I know he threw at least 4 that I saw. It was a bad game. So, yeah, he was struggling last week. So those are the picks for Week 17. Before we go, there's one more thing we want to talk about, and the NFL world lost a legend this week. John Madden passed away at the age of 85, and everybody knows who John Madden is. We don't have to run down his career accomplishments, but what you may not have known was that he was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he was. And there is his football card. He played tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles early in his career. Actually, played both sides of the ball, played offensive and defensive line. I think it said something on the back of the card that the Eagles drafted him in the 21st round.
Wow.
I don't even know. They had 21 rounds.
I guess that's how he became a coach so quick. Sheesh.
Yeah, but there's Madden's football, because he does have ties to the Eagles, and you know, everybody has.
He's a legend. He's a legend, man, in sports in general.
Everybody has a memory of Madden. If you didn't get to see him play or call a game, and I did, and it was, you know, they make fun of him, you know, had the impersonations that always go around making fun of some of the stuff he said. Him and Pat Summerall, in my youth, were two of the best announcers. You always had a good time when they were calling a game, especially if it was a playoff game or Thanksgiving Day game. It was just fun to hear his voice.
Yeah.
And then that's why I think when he started the Madden football franchise, I think it's what gave it life, was not only that we had this really cool football game that we could call our own, but it did so much better than the others because it had Madden behind it. And it was genuine. As silly as he could be sometimes, and as corny as he could be sometimes, he was genuine. He was genuine. I think everybody loved him for that. So big loss to the football world. And I have not watched it yet, but it's on my list to watch this week, is the All Madden documentary. It's ironic that they released that this week and he passes away. It's sad, but we'll miss you, John.
Indeed.
So that being said, it's almost New Year's Eve. We got a couple of days left to go. I'm looking forward to it. You got any plans for New Year's?
Nah, man, just hang out with the fam here. Probably pop a couple bottles, the rosé like we normally do, and celebrate life, celebrate another year, another opportunity, you know.
It's crazy. Hey, man.
Yes, sir.
Edited. How about 2022. Well, I'm down here with my daughter. Went back up to Ohio with her boyfriend. She was down here for Christmas. She only stayed a couple days, but I've got my other two children here, and their significant others. So we're going to hang out and probably watch the ball drop if we can stay awake. At my age, I count that a win if I can just see it drop. You know, everything else is dropping. I might as well see the ball drop. But we don't watch other than that. We'll probably, you know, play some games and listen to music and hang out and have a few drinks. It'll be a lot of fun. But then before you know, like I say, 2022 already. It just doesn't slow down. In this area of COVID, it seems like time's even moving faster. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, we got 18 weeks in a football season, college football playoffs, so much happening right now. And we will be back here as long as it takes. If it takes past week 18, Tubby and I will be here calling the playoff games all the way through so that we can let you know what's going on here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. You can always catch us on your favorite podcast provider, whether that's Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Music, Podcaster, Castro. We're on all of them. Just look us up. And then if you can always subscribe, that would be a lot of fun. Then you can hear us each and every week. If not, if you like the live stream like we did, we're always on Facebook Live, we're on YouTube, and we're on Twitch each and every week. You can also email us at lee.bird, that's B-Y-R-D, .eaglesdare@gmail.com. We'd like to hear from you. Send us memes, send us whatever you want, and we'll try to get them into the show. Thank you so much. So saying all that, I'm going to turn it over to Tubby for his final New Year's resolution and words.
Sorry. Keep it real simple, man. Keep it real simple. Fly, Eagles, fly.
And go, Birds. Happy New Year, everybody. We will see you next week.